Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and today's conversation is with Vice Admiral Jack Dorsett, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Dominance and Director of Naval Intelligence. Also joining us from IBM is Chris Lyons. Admiral, I had an opportunity to read, and I really enjoyed The Art of Success in Naval Intelligence, your monograph. It provided valuable insights and principles for success that I believe are applicable to any profession. Would you outline for us the key characteristics of a successful naval intelligence officer? And what are some of the fundamental principles of success, and how do you actualize them?
Right. I don't know what the perfect example of a naval intelligence officer is, but I would say it's someone who's got professional depth and specific intelligence skills, and that may be geographic area, Middle East expert, knowledge of a specific country in Asia. Might be someone who understands technical disciplines in terms of collection systems, whether it's space systems or reconnaissance aircraft. But one thing that's fundamental to all naval intelligence professionals is you need to be an analyst. Part of your job throughout your career is analyzing information, analyzing data, and then being able to convey that information in either written form or verbal form to decision makers. Intelligence is a profession that contributes to decision making. It is not the decision maker. So being a good analyst is really solid. In terms of success and what other attributes are critical for a successful career in naval intelligence, I've already mentioned integrity as the foundation, but professional competence, again, in one or multiple skill sets, leadership, vision, especially at the more senior levels, teamwork, really critical in this era more than any other time because of, the youngsters are constantly communicating in ways that I never even envisioned when I was younger. You can't work it alone. If you're an independent analyst, you can be the best independent analyst in the world, but you're going to miss opportunities and you're going to miss data and other ways to look at information if you're not teaming with other individuals. Clearly, taking care of your people and in this Navy today, taking care of our families is critical not only to naval intelligence professionals, but for anyone in the Navy. If we're not taking care of the families today, it doesn't matter how well we treat our people. The families are the ones that make the decisions on whether the sailors in the Navy stay in or not. And I think key for all professionals is setting clear standards and holding people accountable. Those are key attributes of the Navy in itself, but also the subset of intelligence professionals in the Navy.
You have firsthand experience regarding information sharing challenges faced in the wake of a disaster. Specifically, you were involved in Operation Unified Assistance in response to the 2004 tsunami. Would you tell us what you learned about information sharing in the wake of destruction, and to what extent did Operation Unified Assistance represent a successful model of transforming U.S. forces to become more agile, adaptable, and responsive to emerging crises?
That was a great experience for those of us in the Navy. And Admiral Tom Fargo was the commander of the Pacific Command at the time, and the current Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Gary Ruffhead, was his deputy commander. So I think we all learned together that when you're dealing in a humanitarian assistance or a disaster relief type of operation, the basic Navy command and control system, the basic Navy structure, were organized to succeed quite well in an organization or in a disaster like that. We have the agility, we have mobility, but in terms of information, we learned an awful lot in the tsunami relief operations because we had a government organization, we had intelligence structures that were designed to deal with classified information, to use national space systems, and it was more cumbersome. And what we found out in the tsunami disaster was you had to be more agile, you had to deal with non-government organizations, you had to deal with a host country, Indonesia, at which at the time the U.S. government had just a modest relationship with, and the military had very limited relationship with them. So we had to, on the spot, create mechanisms to pass information. We reached out to get unclassified sources of information, and quite specifically commercial space satellite to first identify the breadth of the disaster and then help the local agencies that were supporting local populations to try and feed them and house them. My view is that the Navy learned an awful lot. We applied those same lessons during the recent Haiti earthquake. We were agile. We partnered with the Marine Corps. We partnered with NGOs and other services, the Army on the ground. We came in there rather quickly. In fact, that's where the Navy and the Marine Corps' strength is we can get to places relatively soon. We can start the flow of both information and goods, and then we get out of the way where other experts, the non-government organizations, the Red Cross, the UN can come on in and jump in on top of us. But we established the basic foundation for success. So we not only learned from the tsunami disaster, but I saw those lessons built upon during the recent Haiti operation as well.
And are those lessons also amongst coalition partners? I mean, it's not just a U.S. effort.
No, absolutely. It really is. You're in my business area, you're talking about sharing information that's unclassified, going to unique and new sources, whether it's doing a Google search or going to a non-government organization that you know has had a long-standing relationship in the affected area, say Haiti in this example. You partner with them rather quickly. You exchange information, and my goodness, how much more effective can you be? And then when you throw on top of that social networking, the flow of information can be rather dynamic.
Thank you, Admiral. With the evolution of the global threat environment and many challenges associated with it, how do you envision your command and its efforts evolving in the next several years to meet these challenges? And what emerging technologies hold the most promise for enhancing your efforts going forward?
We're using, we call them roadmaps, but it's basically a guide for the various war fighting areas that we're looking at. We're going to create a roadmap for undersea. We're creating a roadmap for intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, for electronic warfare, for our networks. And there's a common theme throughout these various roadmaps. They are interconnected, but it's basically a game plan. And, if you're a football player, it's a game plan for how are you going to operate over that that 60 minutes of football game time. Well, this is a game plan for the Navy for the next 5 years, these roadmaps. It's a foundation, and it's an attempt to bring everybody in the Navy and give them the same common understanding of where we're going to make progress in, let's say, electronic warfare. My view is the great thing about a true transformation is you can make pretty quick progress, but you need to understand what the objectives are, what the guidelines are. Otherwise, you're going to be inefficient. You're going to be all over the map. In terms of specific technologies, I wouldn't want to go into too great a detail, but it's safe to say that we're looking at the integration of systems, whether it's radar systems or communication systems. We're looking at unattended and autonomous sensors. We're looking and partnering with others on cyber tools, intelligence and information fusion capabilities. I'll tell you, I think the Navy's lagged in that area a little bit. Some of the other services and others within the intel community have done a better job. We need to make some significant progress in that. And then our advanced data links and combat engagement capabilities, I think, are truly world-class, but they're not where we want them to be. So those are the technologies, some of the technologies that we're looking at to try and make investments in and achieve some great progress in.
That's a wonderful perspective. Sir, you've had a very interesting and successful career serving our country. I'd be interested to get your advice that you would have for someone who's thinking about a career in public service or military service.
The simple piece of advice that I think I've tried to follow at least the latter half of my career and probably most of my career is seize every opportunity. I don't think I've ever, when someone's presented me an opportunity, whether it's a new assignment or a task, I never shied away from it. I always took it. Some of the career assignments, when you're in the Navy, you go where you're told to go. Those were not always the jobs I wanted, but as soon as I was given the assignment, I got enthusiastic and jumped forward in that. So if you're considering a career in the Navy, I tell you what, the adventures are true. They're out there. I've had a wonderful time. I'd say seize the opportunity. That's the advice I give to youngsters, to relatives that I have that are considering coming in either to the Navy or into government. Don't miss the opportunity. There's one quote that really comes to mind that is a motivator to me because it's characteristic, I think, of my career. I never expected to be an admiral in the Navy. I was hoping to make a career of it after I'd gotten in, but I didn't know where I was going to go. And a few years ago, I looked back and I saw a quote from Lady Margaret Thatcher. She was the former Prime Minister of the UK. She said, "One only gets to the top rung of the ladder by steadily climbing up one at a time. And suddenly, all sorts of powers, all sorts of abilities, which you never thought belonged to you, suddenly they become within your own possibility and you think, well, I'll have a go too." So I think I'd conclude by saying, if you're interested in government service or interested in the Navy, have a go, because it is a great opportunity.
Well, sir, I want to thank you for your time today, but I think more importantly, Chris and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, Michael, Chris, it's been a pleasure talking with you today. I've enjoyed the conversation, and hopefully the listeners will as well. And thank you for providing this, I think, service to the public. It is an interesting program that you have, and I've listened previously, and I never expected to be here either. So thanks for the invite.
That was wonderful having you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Vice Admiral Jack Dorsett, Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Information Dominance and Director of Naval Intelligence. My co-host from IBM has been Chris Lyons. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thank you for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.